raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders. Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. We got a lot of great things going on today. I'm Melissa Redpill and my lovely assistant, Tammy. How are you, darling?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm doing great. We're trying to get out all these. We got some issues working on here. We're going to get it. So today, you guys, we are on our fourth installment on the book of Zechariah. Who is excited to know the book of Zechariah finally? I'm telling you, it's really a beautiful book. It's a long book, but now we got it. And so I'm going to tell you when we get started, I'm going to give you basically the summary of what we have learned. So very exciting to see what Zechariah told us thousands of years ago. So if you guys are new here and you don't know what's going on, check out this book right here, End Times, Major Clues from Minor Prophets. They told us all these clues for this day. And we now know, yeah, I got the answer key. Tammy's got the study guide. You can get those over on Amazon really, really cheap. So, yeah, and so I hope you guys have done your homework. We're going to pray. We're going to get started. And we're going to finish up this Zechariah. And I hope everybody feels the way I do. It's like very exciting to know the wonderful truth that these minor prophets told us about this day. We would take this enemy and destroy them. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you that you are the king of the world, that you are the one who will rule this earth forever. Thank you, Lord, that you have awakened us to be your mighty army. We really will just pinch ourselves forever that you chose us for this day of battle, for that battle of Armageddon. We really, the honor is just so huge that you allowed us to be part of what you are doing. And Lord, whatever we have suffered, it's all going to be worth it in the end. We know in the end you win. Thank you for all the Patriots. Thank you for our Freedom Force Battalion. Thank you for how we work together and we get this done. What a blessing to be able to join with believers all over the world. You, just as you promised, you would gather us from all over the world, and you sure did. And you've gathered us specifically because we're looking at how this is biblical, and just we're so excited for everyone to know the truth about how this is biblical. Lord, guide us on what you want us to share, where you want us to share it, how you want us to share it, and we look forward to this beautiful golden age that Zechariah was telling us about. And we pray all this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. All right. Very, very exciting days. If you're new, don't forget, all my good stuff is over on freedomforce.live. Do I have that up? freedomforce.love or melissaredpill.com. Lots of videos over there. You can catch up on research, on doing the study. Now, again, like I always say, you do your study first. Don't really use the answer key, really, unless you're the teacher. And then this, you do the study guide, and then you listen to the videos and make sure that you got all your answers right. But actually, I said that wrong. First thing to do is read the book. Read the book and then do the study guide, right? First read the book and then do a study guide. And I'm telling you, these books that were hidden from us now are very well understood, really, you know, it just makes perfectly good sense now to us. So the audiobooks are here. If it makes it easier for you to listen to me for 8 hours for each book, I've got 3 books over there and you can listen to me, read them to you. And then also the end times intro right there. I really encourage you to send your family and friends over there to get a different look about end times, what the truth is. Don't forget, hit the like button right now. Right now, hit it, everybody. Thank you so much for always doing that and for helping us to make things. You've actually helped me make things go viral in the past few weeks, and I really, really appreciate it, trying to get some of this truth out, and it's great to have our team, our battalion. All right, so here we are. This is the table of contents. We have completed Daniel all the way through chapter 12, and we've been on chapter 13 on the book of Zechariah. So let me give you a summary of what we did the first 5 chapters of the book of Zechariah. We talked about how they had to stop worshiping Baal. The Lord had told them through all the prophets to stop worshiping Baal. They wouldn't stop because they were just so deceived. They were just so deceived by Ahab and Jezebel. Famous Jezebel. That tells you right there, she really did a number on the people, bringing in her prophets of Baal and threatening them, and they better do what she said. Most people did. And so then they had to be cast out of the land. And Assyria was their, quote, punisher. And they had to be cast out. And it really turned out for good because they had to get away from the evil ones in the land of Israel. Okay, so and then the dual fulfillment is that we are now the punisher and that we will plunder them. We will plunder the evildoers, anyone who is still worshiping Baal, we will plunder. Because all these minor prophet books have dual fulfillments. For yes, for the day, 3,000 years ago, like President Trump has been talking about when they got cast out of the land. And now for the day we are experiencing when we are the return of the exiles. This is what we're experiencing. Okay, so then there's a chapter 3. It's talked about Joshua was forgiven, and that's you and me. We're forgiven and called into this battle to save the world. And so this is a huge blessing. Instead of us working for the dark side, we're working for the side of light and righteousness, building up not just a building, but building up the temple of the Lord, of God's people on the earth. So whenever you hear the word temple, make sure you think of it as not just a building, because we have lots of buildings, and clearly that has not really solved the problem. It is about building up God's people, the people who love the Lord all over the world. And so then that was basically the first 5 chapters. And then the next week we talked about the woman in the basket. Well, of course, that's the same as in the book of Revelation. It talks about this woman of the abject wickedness, and that's what woke us up when we found out about this stuff going on, you know, with children. We were like, no, you know, this is absolute evil. And that's what Zechariah told us, is there would be a basket. We would open it up. We're like, oh no, that can't be going on. And that's what woke us up. And then we had, it talks about in chapter 7 about the horses, the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. So I just posted something on X the other day of the 4 horsemen, and because if you know, the Pope got a horse this week, and everybody started talking about the pale horse, and I'm like, okay, let me tell you what the real truth is about the pale horse. So anyway, it was told to us about this in Zechariah, and of course in the book of Revelation, which is, for those of you who are new, the book of Revelation is basically the same as the book of Zechariah, but just with more detail. And so there's a lot of similar symbolism. And so this chapter 7 is talking about the 4 horsemen and basically how they have trampled us over and over and over, whether it's through the medicine or the disease or through the wars or through the financial devastation or through the puppet leaders. All right, so then chapter 8, we talked about, again, Christ in us and him as the king and priest is the dual role, and that he would build the temple and he would work that we would work alongside him to get this job done. And this is, of course, what our Lord Jesus said. He would build, he said he would go to prepare mansions and a place for us. Well, the place is on earth. It's not in a cloud. It's not in a puffy white cloud. And so then number nine, it talks about them being very hard-headed, and that's why, you know, had to be cast out of the land because they refused to obey. And then it talks about the temple of justice, that we would be part of the ones that would build the temple of justice. And we're about to see that really come to the finality with the justice being brought down on these evildoers. All right, so that was the second week. And the third week, we're now on the fourth of 4 weeks. This is the third week we talked about that there would be a day when everyone would worship the Lord. That's what we're headed for. Everyone all over the world will know the Lord and will worship the Lord. This is what the minor prophets talked about, not just Zechariah, but every one of these prophets on this list. And then it says in verse 12 that we would that the silver and gold would not protect them in that day, that the justice would fall. It would fell back in the day on the people who were worshiping Baal, but the fulfillment now is obviously the justice falling on the cabal, right? Anyone who's worshiping Satan, and that they would rip the bloody sacrifice out of their mouth. That's what we talked about last week, and that he wasn't kidding. He was not using hyperbole. He was being very literate. literate too. Anyway, number 13, chapter 13, it talks about setting the prisoners free, that that everyone will be sprung from the trap of being under captivity. Now, we have seen what's happened in Gaza this week and the people being set free, 2,000 prisoners being set free. No one's talking about that, but that's everyone, all of the world will be set free. The fall festivals are about all the captives being set free. So that's what chapter 13 was about, the setting the prisoners free and everyone being cleansed. Remember we talked about that blood that was in the basin and how it's like, what is that talking about? It's the cleansing blood of Christ that will purge us from any kind of guilt, any kind of evil, anything that we've potentially ingested that we didn't know. He's going to cleanse us all from all of that. I don't know how that's going to happen exactly, but we will be cleansed. The world will not have any of this. Even the memory, the Bible says, will be forgotten. And then chapter 14 talks about this: the flock, the sheep, will become like horses in battle. Who's that talking about? That's talking about you and me. We have always been, in the past, pretty much just believing what we were told, but not anymore. Not anymore. And it also talks about that he will cast out the evil shepherds, the ones who had mistreated the sheep and had not done anything to help them to fight the cabal, but it actually worked with the cabal because they had, many of them have been in on it. And then chapter 15, divorce, that the Lord says he's divorcing the evil shepherds and that they would be cast out and separated. So that was those first 15 chapters and also the first three installments. Now we're on installment number four. Did I miss something?
Oh, I just, I'm just looking. I'm fine.
Okay. You look
at my... Zechariah 12 is what we're reading today. So.
Okay, so I'm on... Yeah. Okay, so let me go back to thank you. I thought we were on question number 16. I have us on question 16.
Yeah, we're on question 16.
Okay, yes. Okay, good.
Well, you were saying chapter, but you meant question.
Okay, all right. Okay.
I was thinking, wait a minute, we're not up to that chapter. There's no chapter of that.
Okay, all right. Well, okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, no.
Okay, so so we're on, for everybody, if you're playing along, it's in, we are in the study guide, question number 16. And so, again, we just finished about this portion, about the foolish shepherds, the evil shepherds who have who have misled the people to frighten the people and to not help us to fight against the cabal. And so the honest truth is the church has been infiltrated. He told us it would, and all the religious institutions have been infiltrated, and so they have not risen up to fight the cabal, which you would expect them to do. And so the job has fallen to those who have, regular people, his army, and the Lord was very well able to do that. So All right, so now, are we ready? I just want to bring everybody kind of up to speed with where with the book thus far. And so now let's get started on number 16. Y'all ready? Let's do it.
Okay. So what is the good news from Ezekiel 37:15-25? Yahweh's word came again to me, saying, "You, son of man, take one stick and write on it, for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it, for Joshua, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Then join them for yourself to one another and to one stick, that they may become one in your hand. When the children of your people speak to you, saying, 'Won't you show us what you mean by these?' tell them, 'The Lord Yahweh says, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. The sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Say to them, The Lord Yahweh says, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel. One king will be king to them all. They will no longer be two nations. They won't be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. They won't defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So they will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be king over them. They all will have this one shepherd. They will also walk in my ordinances and observe my statutes and do them. They will dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, in which your fathers lived. They will dwell therein, they and their children and their children's children forever. David, my servant, will be their prince forever."
Yay! All right. This is an amazing passage. I'm going to break it down for you guys if you're not familiar. Hopefully you've done your homework and you know. Yes, unified front for the attack. Yes, we are joining back together. And really for the golden age, there's just not going to be this division. It's just going to be wonderful. Okay, so let's just go back to back in the day, you had the northern tribes of Israel, the southern tribes of Judah, and they were separated. After David died, King David died, and then his son Solomon was the king. After that, he had a son, I think his name was Jeroboam. He was no bueno. He was a bad, bad dude. And so, you know, he basically told the people, you know, He was running the thing, everything, and if they didn't like it, too bad. Well, 10 of the tribes said, "Okay, we're out." They had a civil war, basically. It really wasn't a war. They're just like the 10 northern tribes of Israel said, "Oh, we're out of here. We're done." And so they went, and that's where like the Samaritan woman, remember the woman at the well? She lived one of the 10 tribes in the north. So this is what, you know, they were separated at that point and have never rejoined, okay? But look at this verse right here in verse 19. It says, "Tell them, the Lord Yahweh says, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel and his companions, and will put them with it, with the sticks of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand." Isn't that awesome? It's, you know, finally reunifying, rejoining. So, you know, it's similar to, you know, like in our country, we had the Civil War in our country, and then we, you know, we came back together. But even bigger than that, think worldwide. Well, let me just start with this. We've got, in our country, we've got all the different religions, you know, different facts go in our country. Even within the Christian faith, you have the Baptists and the Presbyterians and all the different, you know, sects. And so they will all come together, all be joined together in Christ to follow him, because as he is the king of the world, everyone will come into alignment with him. Okay, so now let's take that to all the world religions. You talk about Islam, you talk about Judaism, you talk about Buddhism, you talk about Hinduism. I mean, all the different world religions really, as we've talked about before, are all waiting on the Messiah. And so when he is revealed, then everyone will acquiesce to him, you know, in one sense, you know, bow the knee. But more importantly, you know, barely, it's not about your knee and being on the ground. It's about their hearts being connected to him and following him. And so they will, if everyone is following him, how can you have any disagreement, right? So that's what that, what, really, it's not about sticks. You know, the stick is just a symbol of everyone joining together, okay, instead of being separated. And, of course, the cabal has used religion to separate and to divide. And you can, they love every all this division. And so a lot of people in the movement are really dogging on Muslims, but understand that Islam has been taken over by the same kinds of infiltrators that the Christian church has been. Every religion has been infiltrated and hijacked for evil purposes. But when all those ones who've done that to use the religion for evil and to deceive the people and to twist it and to confuse, when everyone comes together, they'll realize, hey, you know, we're all worshiping the same Messiah. And maybe they didn't understand. They maybe didn't understand that Jesus is the Messiah who died for their sins. Maybe they don't understand that. Many people in the world don't understand that, but they will. They will. He loves them too. You know, and it's about, he's looking at their heart, and he's going to rejoin everyone back together. So it's not just about the physical progeny, okay? Let's look at the bigger picture than just the physical progeny of Israel and Judah, okay? It's much, much bigger than that. It's worldwide, as the Bible clearly says, many places it says that you won't have to tell people to know the Lord. They will all know him from the least to the greatest. Everyone, worldwide. I'm working on my book, you know, the Golden Age. Hopefully I can get this out there for you guys, because you're going to love it. But, you know, it just says this so many times, so many places, that everyone will know him all over the world. And everyone will walk in truth and love. It's going to be amazing. So that's really the answer to the question. The good news from Ezekiel 37:15 through 25 is about this rejoining of everyone, and no more idols, no more detestable things, no more. In other words, it's, you know, when it says detestable things, you guys know it's talking about no more Satan worship, okay? Satanic sacrifice. Whenever you see SS, think a snake, right? And you also think, you know, they use that, like the SS back in World War II, and I even think kind of Sunday school, they're used the something that was good, and but they used it to trick us a lot, you know, because they got control of the teaching materials. So anyway, it's SS is a good symbol to look at for and to kind of go, hey, wait a minute, I need to look at this a little more closely if something has the symbolism SS. All right, is there anything else you wanted to add in that section, Miss Tammy?
I don't think so.
All right, now, question number 17. What did the Lord foretell about the 17 army? He was talking about us, and so let's just see what he said. Go ahead.
Okay, a revelation of Yahweh's word concerning Israel. Yahweh, who stretches out the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him, says, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of reeling to all the surrounding peoples, and it will also be on Judah in the siege against Jerusalem. It will happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples. All who burden themselves with it will be severely wounded, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered together against it. In that day, says Yahweh, I will strike every horse with terror and his rider with madness. I will open my eyes in the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. The chieftains of Judah will say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in Yahweh of armies, their God. In that day I will make the chieftains of Judah like a pan of fire among wood and like a flaming torch among sheaves. They will devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand, and on the left and Jerusalem will yet again dwell in their own place, even in Jerusalem. Yahweh also will save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of David's house and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem will not be magnified among Judah, not of Jerusalem not be magnified. In that day Yahweh will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He who is feeble among them at that day will be like David, and David's house will be like God, like Yahweh's angel before them. It will happen in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. I will pour on David's house and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. They will look to me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and will grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for his firstborn. In that day there will be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning of Hadrodrimmon in the valley of Megiddo. The land will mourn, every family apart, the family of David's house apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of the Shemites apart, and their wives apart, all the families who remain, every family apart, and their wives apart.
There's a lot in that section. I maybe should have broken that down a little bit more. But anyway, So what did he foretell about this? This is talking about you guys. This is talking about us. He says, it will happen on that day that I'll make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the people. Okay, you guys are a bunch of stones. You're like, we're hard-headed. We're not going to stop until this cabal is destroyed. We are just not, we won't stop. We're immovable. We're an immovable rock, says in another place. We will not stop until this is done. I know that's exactly how you guys feel. That's how I feel. That's how all the patriots feel. Whether they know it's biblical or not, that's the way they feel. And it says in that day, and all who burden themselves with it will be severely wounded, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered together against it. They're all fighting against MAGA, basically, we're standing here and we will not stop. We're going to, work along with President Trump and his entire cabinet, and we're going to bring justice on Venezuela. We're going to bring justice on the evildoers who have fomented so much evil in the Middle East. All of this is going to end. All the ones who've harmed children, we're not stopping. And the Lord has put that in our hearts. And anyone who tries, they're just going to hurt themselves. And that's exactly what we have seen. Anytime that they try to, come against Trump, it always boomerangs on them. And they just get exposed. It's quite something. We've been seeing that a lot lately, even in the Patriot movement. We're seeing some Patriots coming out, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, you're not a true patriot, are you? Now we know. So it's hurting them whenever they come out and they try to fight against the truth. It says in verse 4, I'll strike every horse with terror and his rider with madness. I will open my eyes in the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. All these ones, again, remember I was talking about the horsemen? These have been trampling us, trampling all for thousands of years, way back to Zechariah. They have trampled us with every which way they can, right? The colors represent the puppet leaders, the war devastation, the financial devastation, and the health devastation. But, they trample us every which way they possibly can in six ways to Sunday, like Chuck Schumer said. They just won't stop. But there's the ones who are going to be severely wounded. I'll strike and they're being struck with terror. And if you remember, as you always know, I have to always talk about my beautiful sign in the heavens, this beautiful sign, the beautiful sign of the Son of Man that you've seen many times. This sign right here, it says that when they see that sign, there's 18 times in the Old Testament, it says when they see the sign of the Son of Man or the woman in labor, they'll be in terror. That's what we're seeing. They are in terror because they're like, these people won't stop. They're an immovable stone. Exactly like what we were just reading right there in Zechariah 12. Who likes Zechariah 12? Isn't that awesome? Yes, it's hard for thee to kick against the bricks. Yes, H. Clay. Yes, it's hard for them to kick against the bricks. It's hurting. They're stubbing their toe. We don't care. We don't care. Stub your toe. We won't stop. And like the other day, you know, I had some people coming against me because of the things I was telling about Netanyahu and about that he's been working with Hamas all this time. And it was all a land grab. And I've had some people come and say, you shouldn't be saying that. I'm like, I do not care. You don't understand. The Lord has made me like an immovable stone. I'm not stopping telling the truth because of, you know, I'm just not. Just because you're yapping, not doing it. All right. So, and they're in terror because we are all that feel that same way. We're going to speak the truth, and the truth will set us free. And so we're never going to stop. The Lord has filled us in our hearts. Okay. And so then it says here, and that we're like the chieftains of Judah, like a pan of fire among the wood, like a flaming torch among the sheaves, just burning all these lies to the ground. That's what we're doing. I think that's in the book of Joel too. It talks about just that. It says, at the very beginning when I was playing that little clip from Joel chapter 2, it says, ahead of them lies the land as beautiful as the Garden of Eden, but behind them is nothing but desolation. It's because we are burning down all their lies, all their superstructure of evil. We're burning it down. They had it all built up, and we're destroying it all. Praise the Lord. All right, so then Yahweh will save the tents of Judah first, and then that the glory of David's house and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem will not be magnified above Judah. In other words, everyone will be rescued at the same time. This is all happening at once. The entirety of humanity is being set free all at once. And so, you know, it's not like, this year it's going to be all of, Europe will be saved, and then next year it'll be all of the Middle East will be saved, and then the next year it's going to be all of America will be saved, and then next year is going to be all of Venezuela or South America. No, everybody all at the same time. Everyone will be rescued, and none will be magnified above the other. And so then it says, in that day, we'll seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. God's people, don't think about people who misinterpret this passage, some of them knowingly and some of them unknowingly, thinking it's talking about just the little city of Jerusalem. It's not about that. It's about God's people wherever we are worldwide. He knows a city is not dirt. A city is people. A city is people, right? So the temple is about people, not about a building, not about stones. All right, so here it says, I'll destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. He will destroy all these evildoers that are trying to fight and destroy righteous humanity. For those of you who are new, and for those of you who have been here a while, you know there's only two sides. There's the righteous and the wicked. The battle is between the righteous and the wicked. There's nothing else. There's only two choices. And so he's going to destroy those who are trying to destroy the righteous. Simple as that. Okay. Now, this last section right here, 10 through 13, is kind of confusing. Why are these people weeping bitter tears? Why are they crying? Why are they mourning and, you know, separating themselves from their loved ones? You know, it says the house of David apart from the family of the Nathan apart, the wives apart, everybody's apart. Because they realize at some point, very quickly here, they're going to realize they fought against the Lord, against what the Lord was doing on the earth. I am very thankful. I will not have to be in that number. I'm glad that we're not deceived like that. I'm glad that we've had our trouble over the past 7 years, but we have at least, we've not denied the Lord in the day of battle, in the day of Armageddon. I thank God that we did not fight against him. I would be sick. And that's how they're going to feel. They're going to feel sick when they realize they were fooled into, fighting against the Lord. All right? That's what this is about. And it says here, they will look to me, whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and will grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for his firstborn. They'll be like, I just, how will you ever get over it to realize you've just, deny the Lord. It's not that they're on the side of the wicked, okay? So the wicked and the righteous, only two sides. There's not a middle side, a middle group. But they love the Lord, but they've been just so fooled. You know, like some of these people out here in this No King's Day thing, they're just fooled into thinking that this is the right thing to do, to fight against, you know, against the righteous. And you know, they're just brainwashed, right? The Lord understands that. And they will grieve bitterly. So, it'll be okay. The bottom line is they will, you know, that grieving and getting, the reason that they're separating is so that they can spend time with the Lord and find that peace that they'll need to find. You agree, Tammy?
Yes.
Yeah. And the Lord will give them that peace that they need. And it reminds me of back in the day when the people came back from Babylon. Remember how Daniel was cast off into Babylon? They came back to Jerusalem and they built the wall and then they built the temple, the second temple. And so all the older people who had, you know, known, they knew what had happened to cast the people out of the land and how they, you know, had come back and all that they had suffered because they had worshiped Baal. They were crying bitter tears that, you know, they were just so grieved that they had, that this had all happened and all the suffering that had happened, you know. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, we have not ever been in this situation. Those of us who live in America, we've not had a war-torn country. We've not experienced what the people of Gaza have experienced, where things are just, the devastation is, you know, just beyond words. You know, the pictures, I don't even post most of the pictures. But I did post a picture of that little boy who has both his feet are gone and both of his arms are gone. It's just so awful. The war devastation. It's that kind of grieving. Like if we had only just, you know, not done these. I'm not speaking against Gaza. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when you have that sense of guilt that we could have done something different so that that people wouldn't have suffered like this. It's just, it's hard. It's a very, very hard thing to swallow. One of my dear friends is from Iran, and she talks about, you know, they've been in a war-torn situation. They say it's just awful. It's just awful. And there's just this grieving of loss of, and that what could, you know, if we had only, right? If we had only type of thing. But we obviously cannot go back and, you know, change the past. And so somehow the Lord will give them that courage and that peace in their hearts so that they can overcome that. And just like Nehemiah told the people who were grieving back in the day when they saw the second temple, he says, you know, wipe your tears, you know, rejoice that we are now in this day of peace. Rejoice that we're now in this day of restoration so that you can have the strength to build this beautiful future. If you sit there in the depression, how's that going to help you to move forward to build a beautiful future? We can't live in the past. We have to move forward into the future, right? How's that sound? Does that make sense? Right? Yeah. That's what it's talking about right here. They'll be grieving over all the loss, all the devastation, but they will find this peace, okay? And it talks about in another passage, and I don't know if it's where exactly it is, but remember we were talking about the river, the fountain of, that there will be a fountain that's opened up. It's a fountain of forgiveness where we can, the Lord is free. Here it is. It's the very next one. I thought it was coming up. Yes, it's coming up. Yeah, so everyone will sense this forgiveness, this cleansing. You know, we will all feel, once we realize, you know, maybe some of the things that we've eaten that we did not have any idea, you know, these types of things that, you know, people who find out that, you know, that their child has been sick because they believed the doctors and gave them a jab and all the suffering that they've experienced, right? But there's going to be a fountain of cleansing and everything's going to be made right. Of course, all the things we've suffered, we can't go in and rewrite that, but we will, you know, have this beautiful days for the future. All right. Any questions, any thoughts, any, yeah, Yeah. Okay. So thank you so much, H. Clay. All right. Now, I am very excited to see people talking about the blue skies. We're seeing that this day is coming upon us. We are. Yeah. Very, very exciting days. We're starting to see the cleansing in our skies, and we're going to see the cleansing on so many, just every level. But those who wake up, I think it's going to be a tough pill for them to swallow. So we have to really be there for them and say, like, hey, we understand the brainwashing was real. We were, you know, yes, we were awake, but it was only because God chose us to do it. And we, it was not, you know, it was nothing of us. It was all of the grace of God. The only reason we were awake was because he chose us to do it. And he chose some, and some he didn't choose to be part of that battle. And that's, you know, but either way, we're all going to be joined together and unified like those little sticks. Okay. All right. So now 18, y'all ready to go on? Who or what is the fountain that cleanses everyone that is discussed in Zechariah 13, 1-9? And what is cleansed? You can put it in the, I'll watch the chat. So you guys can tell me some of your answers.
Okay. In that day, there will be a fountain open to David's house and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanliness. It will come to pass in that day, says Yahweh of armies, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they will be remembered no more. I will also cause the prophets and the spirit of impurity to pass out of the land. It will happen that when anyone still prophesies, then his father and his mother who bore him will tell him, you must die because you speak lies in Yahweh's name. And his father and his mother who bore him will stab him when he prophesies. It will happen in that day that the prophets will each be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. They won't wear a hairy mantle to deceive. But he will say, I am no prophet. I am a tiller of the ground. For I have been made a bondservant from my youth. One will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, sword, against my shepherd, and against the man who is close to me, says Yahweh of armies. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. It shall happen that in all the land, says Yahweh, two parts in it will be cut off and die, but the third will be left in it. I will bring the third part into the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will test them like gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they will say, Yahweh is my God.
All right. Yes. Awesome. Thank you. All right. So this one is very, very strange. What is this? This guy in this Zechariah 13, is this guy saying he's prophesying, and his father and mother who bore him will say, you must die because you're speaking lies in Yahweh's name. What is this talking about? Well, you know, in the past, we have had false prophets that have led people to do evil. Okay? It's just what it is, on one level or another. And that's not going to happen in the Golden Age. That's not happening. There will be a fountain of cleansing that will cleanse us from all the things that we have done, all the lies. It says there'll be no more deception for 1,000 years. That's in Revelation chapter 20. There'll be no more deception, and there'll be no more false teaching. There certainly will not be satanic sacrifices, right? There will none of that. No more desolations, none abominations, none of that will be happening, okay? And because everything will be cleansed, even our consciences will be cleansed, our bodies will be cleansed. This, I don't know how that's going to all happen, but it will happen. And in God's word, we've got to, the Golden Age has to be it's got to be different. We're not putting new wine of the Golden Age into the old wine construct of the past. Everything will be new. All right. So all these idols, all this Satan worship will not be remembered anymore. And anyone who tries to get someone to do that, the parents will say, no, you're not, even if you're our child, we're not putting up with that. That's what it's talking about. No one will say that this is acceptable under any circumstances. If anyone starts to play that, people will be like, we've already been through enough hell on earth. Literally, you guys, that's what this has been. It's been the Satan and his forces have tried to make hell on earth. What have we, you know, we don't need any more of that. We do not need to open the door to any of that ever again. So that's what it's talking about. It's trying to say it in such a way that it makes everyone know that this is, there will be none of that in the golden age. All right. And so then Ezekiel, they'll stab him if he does. And then if someone says, oh, you must be a prophet, right? And he, no, not me. Not me. I'm not a prophet. Nope. And they're like, well, what are all those cuts? Well, what are those cuts? If you remember back in the day of Ahab and Jezebel, all their prophets of Baal would dance around and make all this carrying on, and they would literally cut themselves. Remember that with Elijah and the two altars. Remember, hey, they danced around and they're cutting themselves and bleeding everywhere. It's crazy. And Elijah's making fun of them. He says, well, call louder because maybe your God is, you know, in the toilet. He seriously did say that. It's just so funny. Elijah was cracking me up. Anyway, so yeah, that's what they would do. And they would have all these, yeah. And they were just basically trying to prove to the people that this, you know, this is the true and living God. Well, normally they would be in a place where they could have someone light the fire underneath the altar. And so they would trick the people and see, God lit the fire and the people were fooled. But now they're up on this mountain and they don't have someone underneath who can light the fire. So the jig is up. All right. Now, so this kid is saying, nope, not me. Because everyone who maybe had done something evil in the past, they will realize they don't want to mess with that ever again. Even if they had the signs on their bodies of that they had, you know, cut themselves and were part of that in the past, they're like, or a tattoo or something. I hurt myself with my, you know, I fell. Right? And then what all the kids do when they hear the big thud and they tell their, and the parents like, what's going on? Like, oh, Johnny fell. You know, that's kind of what he's talking about here. He says, oh no, I was wounded in the house with my friends. I just, you know, fell and cut myself. No, they're going to all say, we're not going to ever be a part of that. Does that make sense, you guys, now? Mm-hmm. All right. So then it says, awake sword against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And I will turn my hand against the little one. So you see, the Lord is angry with the false prophets, those who have led the people astray knowingly. Always remember, knowingly. You know, you might have taught something that was wrong. The Lord is not angry with you because you taught something wrong. You know, we've all done that. We've all been deceived. He's talking about those who knowingly are doing this because they're siding with the evildoers, okay? And so in context, and my dear friend texted me yesterday because she was studying about this. Hey, Lisa, I hope you're here with us. And she was asking, you know, what is this talking about? She goes, it's a third and a two-thirds. It's like, okay, that doesn't match with what you talk about as far as the one-third are those who side with the demons and the two-thirds are those who are siding with the Lord, right? The 666 represents the righteous of humanity and the third represents the demons. And if you're new to that, check out my videos. Got lots of information. Check out the book, End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace. Let me show you that super quick. This one right here, End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace. And you'll get, you know, anyway, or search on my site for 666 or whatever. So basically, it's because that's their battle cry. If you look at the chrome with the 666 symbolism, they're saying that that's how they're going to destroy us through the search engines. Or if you look at Disney and you see the 666 there, they're saying we're going to destroy righteous humanity using this. Okay. But either way, she was like, what is this talking about? Okay. So let me try to explain it. And I'll also take you to a passage in 1 Corinthians 13 that I think will help you to see, yes, this is exactly what they're talking about. Here's the passage in 1 Corinthians. All right. So it says, let me just read it, and then I'll take you to the 1 Corinthians. It says, it shall happen in that day that two parts in it will be cut off and die, but the third will be left in it. I will bring the third part into the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will test them like gold is tested. And then they will call my name and I will hear them and they will say, it is my God. And they will say, Yahweh is my God. So this is talking about the shepherds in context. So now think of the, you know, these are people who've done evil and they have been in, you know, working with the dark side. I'm going to just pick on one person, you know, Kanye. You know, he would say that he was in with them, and he came out. Remember how in the book of Revelation it says, come out from among them, because their judgment is falling, and you do not want to be a part of that. And so he came out, and he suffered a lot, and they really have done a number on him. It's a wonder he's got, you know, his mind at all after all that he's been through. I wonder about the same thing with Britney, but anyway, I don't know. So it's just been, you know, you do not mess with these people, you know. All right. So it says, you know, the Lord will strike them and a one third will repent. One third will say, okay, I'm going to, you know, turn state's evidence or tell the truth or whatever, you know, come out of this evil. I will, one third will, and the Lord is going to test them with fire. As the silver and gold are tested and refined. And that, I mean, that's exactly what we see has happened with Kanye. He's suffered a lot because he, you know, came out from this evil system, right? And that anyone who stood up, that's, you know, they suffered, right? But it's better to lose your life than to lose your soul. Right? So here is what it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's talking about the teachers in God's house and how important it is that we teach the truth. Very important. And if we are mistaken about something, that we get it right and that we don't ever teach anything wrong knowingly. And he says, it said, let not many of you become teachers, for they will incur the greater judgment. So, I mean, you guys know, I'm like, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm not playing about this. I am not playing. And so it's very, very dangerous to teach the Word of God. I just posted this thing the other day. It says, remember the Q post? It says, we're not prophets, right? I think it's very dangerous to say that you're a prophet. I'm never going to tell you I'm a prophet. I'm not a prophet. I'm a lady with a laptop, and I love the Word of God, and I love to teach the Word of God, and I'm doing to the very best of my ability as God teaches me that I tell to you. But if I learn something different, I'm like, wait. I've have new knowledge and understanding. Anyway, so in this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's talking about those who are teachers, in context. It's talking about the teachers. It says, by God's grace given to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we have already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Right? So it's very important that we're careful to teach the truth. All right. And he says, anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the day of judgment, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. All right, so it's talking about here that, you know, as a teacher, you know, there is a great reward in teaching God's word. He, you know, there is a reward in it, but only if you're teaching the truth, right? Not if you're doing, you know, just like being a hireling for Jezebel or, you know, for the New World Order. And so there will be a reward. And if you are teaching and you realize later on that everything you taught was you were deceived about it, you know, the person will be saved, but only by just the skin of their teeth, in other words. But here it's talking about that these are, it's very important that we, that there's, that we we have to teach the word of God correctly, right? And not use this to deceive. And that's the problem, is they've used the religious institutions to trick the people. All right. So here it was talking about the how important it is for that. And in the same way, it's talking about these shepherds. If they're teaching the wrong thing, they're going to be in very big trouble. These false prophets will be in very big trouble. But those who do speak out the truth, they will be rescued. They will be saved. And so, if they've been teaching something wrong, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I'm glad that I was never part of the hierarchy in the outward church. You know, they got a whiff of me long ago, and they realized I was not, you know, one who was just going to be led around by the nose and say whatever I was told to say. So anyone who does, it's going to go hard for them. They're going to be, if they come out of it, it's going to be tough. So, all right. So I think, does that make sense? Does that come together pretty good on that chapter? All right, chapter 13 of Zechariah, and I think we just have, let's see, we have two more?
Yeah, well, I think we have one more.
Oh, okay. All right,
yeah,
just
but
one
I was going to say, yeah, for me, I was going to say what I remember easily is it's a third of the third.
Okay.
I know that's backing up a lot, but you always say that a third, you know, the third or the evil, but a third of that evil, a third of the third has the opportunity to come back.
Thank you.
And until the time that he can't, they have that window. So I just always
That's a great way to say it. Thank you. That's much simpler than the way I did it. But yeah, but that is a great. Okay, so yeah, they're all told, come out from mm-hmm. among her. Come out mm-hmm. of the New World Order. Come out of this. Mm-hmm. Do not. But we still see it, that they're still saying what they're told to say. They're following the script. Like, come out. What don't you understand? This, the judgment is falling. Mm-hmm. And we see it even now. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? How could you do this? And so but if they do, they know it's like, I literally know someone who has said, I mean, he knows that Jesus is the Christ, mm-hmm. but he knows that if he turns to Christ, he's going to have to do a lot of things like exposing a lot of evil. He's mm-hmm. going to have to come out with a lot of truth. And mm-hmm. he's not willing to do it. He's not willing to do
not
it.
Yet. But he maybe will.
Time's running out, bruh. Time is running out. And I'm afraid he's been part of some of this. And he has to repent. I don't know, because he's not confessed that. But mm-hmm. it's tough, because he knows. And he's wept bitter tears, but he's not. He knows that he'll be refined by fire. If he does, they know that if you come out and you tell the truth, it's bad. You know, that it's they might kill you. Who knows what they'll do to you? All right. Everybody ready? Mm-hmm. All right. Now we're on. It's really important. We don't want to have our everything burned up from. We want to tell the truth. All right. So now in question 19, put in your own words how Zechariah 14 describes the victory of the great battle of Armageddon and what we have to look forward to.
Behold, the day of Yahweh comes, when your plunder will be divided within you. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be taken. The houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city will go out into captivity, and the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then Yahweh will go out and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of the battle. His feet will stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, making a very great valley. Half of the mountain will move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. You shall flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azel. Yes, you shall flee, just like you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Yahweh my God will come, and all the holy ones with you. It will happen in that day that there will not be light, cold, or frost. It will be a unique day which is known to Yahweh, not day and not night. But it will come to pass that in evening time there will be light. It will happen in that day that living waters will go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. It will be so in summer and in winter. Yahweh will be king over all the earth. And that day, Yahweh will be one, and his name one. All the land will be made like the Arabah, from the Geba to Rimmon south of Jerusalem. And she will be lifted up and will dwell in her place, from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate, to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. Men will dwell therein, and there will be no more curse, but Jerusalem will dwell safely. This will be the plague with which Yahweh will strike all the peoples who have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will consume away while they stand on their feet, and their eyes will consume away in their sockets, and their tongue will consume away in their mouth. It will happen in that day that a great panic from Yahweh will be among them, and they will each seize the hand of his neighbor, and his hand will rise up against the hand of his mine's on the next page, it's like that. Neighbor. Judah also will fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the surrounding nations will be gathered together, gold, silver, and clothing in great abundance. A plague like this will fall on the horse, on the mule, on the camel, on the donkey, and all animals that will be in those camps. It will happen that everyone who is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of armies, and to keep the Feast of Booths. It will be that whoever of all the families of the earth doesn't go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of armies, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt doesn't go up and doesn't come, neither will it rain on them. This will be the plague with which Yahweh will strike the nations that don't go up to keep the Feast of Booths. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that don't go up to keep the Feast of Booths. In that day there will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, "Holy to Yahweh," and the pots in Yahweh's house will be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah will be holy to Yahweh of armies, and all those who sacrifice will come and take of them and cook in them. In that day there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of Yahweh of armies.
Amen. Amen. This is about the golden age. This is about the golden age and all that we're going to experience in the golden age. So exciting. Yeah. And so let's go to the beginning of it and talk about that. It's, you know, this is, yeah, which is going to be so wonderful. Thank you, Zechariah, for telling us how it's going to be. So first of all, in this, there'll be a plunder will be divided within you. In other words, the silver and the gold, all the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. So this is where we're headed, you guys. This is what we've just seen, is the gold and the silver rising. It's really, you know, this week it, gold hit 4,400. Let's see what it is real super quick. Let's just see what it is. I don't want to do that. Let's see what this is right now. It went to 40. Uh-oh. Why are you doing that? Uh-oh, it's making me sign in. Okay, no, yay. All right, so it's at 4,267. But yeah, you see it's just rising. It did dip down, but you see year to date, it's just like a meteor. Not a meteor. Meteor goes down like a rocket, like a rocket ship. And the same thing with silver. Let's see the year to date on that one. Year to date, just yeah, going straight up. Very, very exciting. And yeah, it has a little dips or whatever, but you can see it's going up, 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 up. So what that means is this is going to destroy the bankers because they've bet against it. They've suppressed it for so long because they were having it off of themselves, and now. It's going to be restored to the righteous, and that's how gold will destroy the Fed. I've got a whole video where I talked about that. Okay, so where did it go back to this? Yeah, so it says here that we will plunder them. They'll be plundered. And so, you know, half of them will go into captivity, and yeah, so all these people who've done this evil will be destroyed. And so it says his feet will stand in the day on the Mount of Olives, and they'll split into. In other words, there's going to be a huge division in this earth between, as I talk about, the righteous and the wicked. That's what it's talking about. It's not about him, you know, physically standing on that mountain. That's not what it's about. It's about this huge, eye-opening experience that the entire world is going to have, and there's just no other way about it than to rip the Band-Aid off, and like we're seeing, you know, people being arrested. And today, here it is, the 18th of October, 2025, they're having this huge protest that we've been hearing about since 2017. They're trying to stop the arrests of higher officials, just exactly what like we were told. And these huge protests have been are being organized for this very purpose, but it will not help. This earthquake it's talking about right here that Zechariah talked about in chapter 14, verses 4, it's going to just bust everything wide open, where everyone will realize who's the good guys and who's the bad guys, who are the righteous and who are the wicked. And it's gonna shock some people, okay? And just like you fled before the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah, king of Judah, so this is, this is what we're about to experience. That's why they're saying, buckle up. Are you ready to see arrest? Are you ready to see it? Well, Cash Patel said this is imminent. I feel that imminent means before the end of the year.
Yes.
Maybe right at the end of the month. I mean, this is what literally Zechariah was talking about almost 3,000 years ago. This is why President Trump has been trying to seed everyone's thoughts on nothing has been bigger since 3,000 years ago when the people were exiled. And now the exile is over. As Isaiah 40 talks about, comfort my people. Tell them the days of your hard servitude is over. Your days of exile are over. So this is what Zechariah was talking about, this huge monumental event that we are right at the cusp of. It'll be a unique day, which is known to Yahweh. Not day, not night. It'll come to pass at evening. There'll be light. I mean, it's just going to be so different, so wonderful that we can't even imagine. All right. And so it talks about here, the Lord, it says in verse 9, the Lord will be king over all the earth. I have several verses where it talks about that. The Lord himself, as Obadiah says, the Lord himself will be king. It says in Zechariah chapter 3, I think 16, it says that the Lord will rejoice over you with singing, and the Lord himself will dwell among you. It says this all throughout the minor prophets. He's going to be revealed before all the world. It says that the living waters will go out from Jerusalem. Again, not the physical city. It's not about water. It's about this cleansing, about this refreshing. And I'm telling you, these blue skies have refreshed me. I'm telling you, I've literally traveled all over the world to try to find some blue skies because these gray wall prison cells were driving me crazy. And so literally I would find it, finally found it in Miami. I'm like, where's some blue skies? And they had them in Miami. I'm sure they paid for them very well. But yeah, so this is this cleansing, this refreshing, because all this evil oppression will be lifted off of all of humanity. Just starting with the chemtrails and with every other thing, all the evil potions and all the evil lies and all that, just there'll be the living water of truth, the living water of Jesus will pour out on everyone. So, so exciting. Oh, I can't believe we're here. All right, so it says there'll be no more curse. Everyone will dwell in safety. It'll happen in that day. What a great panic from Yahweh will be among them, and they will each seize the hand of his neighbor, and his hand will rise up against the hand of his neighbor, and they will fight at Jerusalem. This is what they're doing. Panic, 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 because they realize judgment is falling, and they realize there's nothing they can do to stop it. It's been going on. They've been able to get away with their evil for thousands of years, and now they're not going to be able to. The wealth of all the surrounding nations will be gathered together, gold, silver, and clothing in great abundance. They're losing it all. It's all being restored to the righteous all over the earth. All right, so then, it says those who are left of all the nations that come against Jerusalem will go up year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of armies, to keep the Festival of Booths. I think that's a very interesting clue. I wonder if this happens to possibly be around the Festival of Tabernacles. I'm just saying. We just finished the Tabernacles, and we're seeing all this happening. So Tabernacles and Booths, the same thing, where you build that little booth, and you tabernacle with the Lord. The Lord tabernacles with us. It's not about a little building, a little booth. It's about the Lord, dwelling with us. That's the picture that we get when we think of the Festival of Booths, the Festival of Tabernacles, and that we tabernacle with each other, right? It's about us all coming together and being able to fellowship and not have all this disunity and all this division and all this deception. So it says, it says in verse 18, you know, whoever of the families of the earth don't go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, on them there'll be no rain. In other words, everyone's going to worship the Lord. If anyone does, it's like, you don't really belong. Everyone in the whole world will worship the Lord. And the only ones who are going to want to do evil, they'll have to go. They have to go. They won't fit. They just won't fit in. And if they want to worship Satan, they can have to do that in hell. It's the only place for it. That's the only place to worship Satan. And so it says, verse 18, anyone who doesn't come up, neither family of Egypt doesn't go and come up, and doesn't come, neither will it rain on them. This will be the plague on which Yahweh will strike the nations that don't go up to keep the Feast of Booths. It's not about religion. It's about those who worship the Lord. Either worship the Lord or worship Satan. There's only two choices. In that day, they'll be inscribed on the bells of the horses, holy to Yahweh. And the pots in the Yahweh's house will be like the bowls before the altar. Everything will be holy. Everything. The food will be holy. The movies will be holy. The TV will be holy. The internet will be holy. The schools will be holy. The textbooks will be holy. The food will be holy. The drinks will be holy. The medicine will be holy. The government will be holy. The judges will be holy. The courts will be holy. Everything will be holy to the Lord. That's what he's saying. Yeah, and there'll be no Canaanite. A Canaanite is a Satan worshiper. No Canaanite in the house of Yahweh of armies. Yay. There you go. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Very, very exciting. All right, so that is the book of Zechariah. We kind of did the summary at the beginning, and then we just finished Zechariah, and I really appreciate him writing this down, and I'm very glad to now know the truth about it. How about you, Miss Tammy?
I am, yes.
Yes, so the next one is Amos. Okay, yes. So that's what we'll start on next week on the, the 25th. We're going to start on Amos. So make sure you do your homework if you haven't gotten the book already. You've got a lot of catching up to do, but you can go watch all the videos over on Melissa Redfield. Oh, my goodness. he's a little...
He jumped up.
Wow. This is the book right here, and I'm going to put the link over here so you guys can grab if you need to get the book or the study guides. They're all on that Amazon link right there. But just basically type End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace, and you'll see it. Or... they're all under Red Pill the World. All right, I think that is everything. Is there anything else that you had that you wanted to say, add to that?
Good.
Okay. All right. Would you pray for us, and then we will jet.
Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, we do love you. We do praise you, Lord. We just are happy for this time where we come together and just hear what you have to say to us. And we thank you, Lord, for people like Melly that just love you with all their heart, and they just look at the word and question everything and continually say, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm hearing. And then they want to bring it out to the rest of us. So Lord, we just ask each person here today, take what you've heard today and just spread it to the next person. And all it takes is each of us just saying a little bit to another person, just take it out and it just spreads. The truth will be heard. We just know we've been promised, we've been told, and we're just looking so excited for that. Whatever way possible, just spread the word, because I guess the Lord is upon us. The time is upon us. It's coming soon, and we can just feel it, Lord. We love you and we praise you, and we thank you for all you're doing in our lives right now. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you, darling. Yes, I love it. I'm so thankful that we are together. I really appreciate you, Miss Tammy, and all my wonderful team, my Cheryl and my other Tammy and my wonderful Colleen. Thank you so much, everybody, for helping. So, yes. They're asking you questions in the chat. So, yeah, I'm so glad that we got together. And we're going to play the little song at the end. And, of course, I'll see you Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Central. We'll talk about some of the other current events. That's what we do a lot of times on Sunday morning, and connect that to God's Word. But if you haven't seen already, go again to melissaredpill.com and check out this End Times page right here. Check out the audiobooks. Make sure you are joined on all of our social media. Make sure you check out all the health resources. Just very exciting news that we have we're on the cusp of having amazing health, and we are starting now. We're all starting right now. All right, I'm going to play our little song.
Okay,
And
I
we'll be on
just
the
want to
chat.
say quickly too. Oh,
Go
can
ahead.
just
Go ahead.
really, really go on her site to see who the real Melly is. We're getting hit. We're getting attacked by fake Mellies right and left, wanting, selling gold, selling silver, doing everything. That's not Melly. Melly sites are on the
Yes, yes. Thank you for
website.
saying that. Yes,
Thank
beware of
They're
fake Melly.
everywhere.
Yeah, everybody wants to be me. Yeah, so definitely make sure you go right here on the social media and you will find the real Melly channels and don't be fooled by fake Melly. She's no bueno. She's not the real Melly. All right, I love you guys. I'm so glad we got together and I will talk to you later. All right.
And the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders.